drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Good morning and welcome on in to the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, usually with you on Saturdays, but today we are with you on a Sunday, talking all things in the world of golf with you. You want to join us? 312-332-3776. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. This has been one heck of a week in the world of golf, Mike, because of everything going on with Phil Mickelson. I mean, it's going to be a great week of golf this week in the Chicagoland area as the BMW Championship is headed to Olympia Fields in a couple of days. We've got the wrap-up of the St. Jude as well with the top 70 players in the world right now. And we've also got a LIV Golf event that won Phil Mickelson. I hope he wagered on himself this week because he is putting together a show right now. He's currently tied for second after carding a 4-under yesterday. He trails Cam Smith, who is currently in the lead by 4 strokes right now. But Phil putting together a nice little round. But this comes out the bombshell book from someone that used to gamble with Phil. And it has all this stuff in there, including the fact that Phil was the magnitude of his gambling, the fact that, I mean, there's always been the story out there that when he flipped to Callaway, part of the deal was, oh, we're going to cover some of your gambling debt there. And Phil now denying that he bet on the Ryder Cup. And he was supposedly going to place a $400,000 bet on the U.S. team to win the Ryder Cup back in 2014. Ultimately didn't go through with it, but it's just been one whirlwind of a week for Phil Mickelson, and he finds himself at second in the LIV tournament right now.
No doubt. What a week it has been. And first off, good morning, Tyler. It's nice to see you again.
Yeah,
good morning, everybody here in Chicago. You talk about a week full of packed stuff outside the ropes, let alone what's going on inside the ropes. And then the carnival and the circus is coming to Olympia Fields starting tomorrow, which is going to be great. But as far as Phil, I mean, Billy Walters, his book, we knew when we talked to Alan Shipnook last year that this book was going to be eventually coming out after he got out of prison. And already the first item, you know, he talks about is what happened at Medina in 2012. He tried to place a $400,000 bet. Now, Phil's denying that he didn't place the bet, but he's not denying that he didn't try.
Yeah, the intent clearly seems to have been there.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me about Phil whatsoever. The guy has an addiction, and it's so funny. Last week, if he went and got help for it, I think he's starting to relapse. He just played for $1 million against Bryson DeChambeau last week, but he won. So Bryson may have won $4 million, but the joke is he actually really won only $3 million because he owed Phil. They played 9 holes for $1 million. That's like you and I, Tyler, mm-hmm. playing for like $5. And, you know, it's just incredible if he said he's been working on it, but yet that came out first. Then the excerpt came out from Billy Walters. So very interesting to see. It's a book that I cannot wait to get my hands on. Love to get Billy on the show, if that's even possible. But it's interesting how that whole relationship came to be. They met at Pebble Beach. I think it was around like 2006, thereabouts. And then about a year and a half or so later at the Wyndham, they ran into each other. And that's when Phil was much more aggressive with a motive or with an agenda and started to partner with Billy. And then from there, it just grew and grew. And I think, you know, they're saying that between 2010 and 2014, he lost in the neighborhood of $40 million gambling. That's what he lost. Mm-hmm. And
he wagered a billion.
Yes. And he didn't lose a billion.
Right.
He wagered a billion. But in all of that is a one, at least one day, and I guess there were multiple days thereof, he made 43 bets on baseball just in one day. And how do
for context, there's 15 at most, assuming no doubleheaders, there's 15 games a day.
Yeah.
And he somehow found a way to make 43 wagers on the sport. So you're talking about, all right, we've got something on every single money line. We've got something on every single run total. Then we've got some props mixed in there. And then there's still probably a little bit left over. Like, I don't even know how you can come out to 43 a day.
I don't either. And I think Colin Morikawa said it best. That's a lot of bets. And how he's able to keep a sense of composure mentally about going about playing the great game of golf in a way at a level that isn't distraction. He doesn't fight distraction. In fact, this week he's proven that he excels in chaos. And that's what's going on right now. There's all kinds of banter going around. And I think this is actually what fuels Phil at times. And we're starting to see it. And he could actually win today out at Bedminster.
Yeah, it's been a heck of a week for Phil. If you want to join us, 312-332-3776. Now, I have a question for you, Mike, because with Phil allegedly attempting to bet on Team USA in that Ryder Cup, and good thing he didn't,
yeah,
because that would have been devastating. Or maybe that... maybe that would have been the little push that he needed to help Team USA over the edge there. But with him attempting to bet on himself, do you have a problem with that? In the world of golf, do you have a problem? I think it's different than if you were talking about a team sport. And, I mean, we've seen so much over even the last week of everything that's going on in the state of Iowa right now. They're uncovering all these different college athletes that are betting on their own game, some of which have even bet against their team. But do you have a problem in an individual sport, even though the Ryder Cup technically is a team, but in an individual type sport, do you have a problem with a guy like Phil betting on himself? Like if Phil Mickelson were to go on a FanDuel right now and bet on himself in this LIV tournament to win it all, would you have a problem with that?
I really wouldn't. Golfers are betting on themselves constantly, and that's kind of what this sport is all about. There is no guaranteed unless you're playing over at LIV. So you're in essence gambling on yourself.
It's true.
You're gambling with the sponsors' money that they've given you, because nobody really walks out unless Tiger Woods, for example, when he turned. But even though he had $60 million in the bank, not everybody has that luxury. So they're going to friends, neighbors, relatives to pony up enough money to go out there and make it. And is it a risk? It's a big risk. You know, for a lot of guys that I know that have started out on the, you know, trying to make it on tour, the deal is they'll get $100,000 or $50,000 or $200,000 bankroll. But then the deal is until you pay it back, 80% of your winnings are going back to your sponsors. Yeah. And but yet at the same time, if you don't win, that's a big risk. So to me, it's like a gamble. It's unlike team sports like you alluded to. So from that perspective, I don't. However, if Phil bet on the Europeans to win, now I've got a real big problem.
Right.
Because then that's where guys can start tanking it. Oh, I hit a little too less a club. I dumped it in the bunker. I mean, it's easy in golf to make, you know, the mistakes happen, because let's face it, that's just what happens, versus trying to clank a three-pointer or let a ground ball go through your legs and that kind of thing. But Phil betting on himself, but I think Billy Walters saved him from all kinds of carnage and issue by not taking that bet and reminding him if he's absolutely crazy. But on certain levels, I kind of think he is, because in 2000, Tom Lehman and he were paired together in the President's Cup, and they were playing against Mike Weir, and I believe it was who were they playing? Steve Elkington. That's right. Steve Elkington and Mike Weir. And they were playing horribly after eight holes. And on the ninth hole, he hits a bad shot. So he kind of goes off into the woods. And Lehman decided to go over and try to comfort him. We had his head down. He's sitting on a stump of a log or something. And he doesn't have his head down about the game. He has his head down because he's looking at all the football games that he's gambling on. Mm-hmm. And Alan Shipnick shared that story with us. And now I come full circle back to where we are today. And a lot of this makes sense. And, you know, did Phil's gambling affect golf's landscape? Because like you said, yeah, it's one thing that he left Ping to go to Callaway. But on the other hand, if he didn't have this gambling, did he in fact breathe life into Liv that may not have been there and give it momentum and a lot of momentum? Because let's face it, he is one of the most, you know, sought after, love, personable guys. And so if you're trying to put Liv product out there, you know, what better, you know, guy to have front and center is Phil Mickelson.
Q rating in terms of golfers, he's number two behind Tiger. I mean, that's just who he is. He's a very marketable person. And this whole entire story, and you bring up the story about Billy Walters telling him he's effing crazy, right? Like, he uses the taboo name when he compares Phil. He uses the name Pete Rose.
That's right.
When he says, you've seen the slippery slope. And that to me is, I don't have a problem. I'm with you. I don't have a problem with him gambling on himself. Because I think you bring up a good point. All these golfers do, to a degree, bet on themselves by going to the tour and by electing to have that career choice. However, I do think you open up a very dangerous Pandora's box of, all right, now what? Okay, I know I can tank this round and I'll take my over for my round shot this week. And like that to me is where you don't want to open the door to any of this. So because of that, I do have a little bit of a problem with him betting on himself in this degree. And by betting on Team USA in the Ryder Cup, like I just think it opens up too much of a slippery slope if you do start to let these guys, especially now in the age where there is legalized gambling across the United States in many states now, you open up too much of a slippery slope. And as the sport, you're allowing the integrity of the sport to be tampered with. And that, to me, is the biggest thing that we're seeing across sports and with gambling right now is the integrity has to be held at its highest standard as it's ever been, because the transparency has to be there, because you do have to have this partnership with your fans of the sport and the people that are betting on these games and events like the Ryder Cup.
Absolutely. And if you give any shade of doubt that there is some insider trading news or guys are dumping shots or plays in any sport for that matter, you will lose your sport in a New York second because the public opinion won't be like, well, it's not real or it's fake.
You become wrestling.
Yeah, it's exactly what you become. And that's the slippery slope that you allude to. And I agree with you 100%. Do I think it's a good look for Phil? Absolutely not. You know, it's one thing to kind of kid and laugh about, you know, because they always talk about guys being the best Tuesday players. And what they mean by that is best Tuesday players is the day that they play for the money out on the tour, because usually it's not a pro-am day. And still they have another day of hardcore practicing. So it's kind of like their own day amongst them. And the groups kind of get together and play for what they're accustomed to playing for. And then there are those on tour that are known to play the high end stuff. And then there's guys that don't play for much. And the tour figures it all out. The guys know where they belong. But there are some legendary Tuesday stories out there. Now, those things stay kind of in the family, in the locker room, if you will. But something like this, when you start getting, you know, you're having other people call in your bets, or you've created fictitious accounts under your mom's name or your sister's name, and it's not you betting. That's where I have a major, major problem, is if I'm asking somebody else to book my bets through a fictitious name and I'm not doing it, like you said, fully transparent. That's where I think you start to really go down a bad path.
312-332-3776. Do you have a problem with Phil attempting to bet on himself? 400 grand on the U.S. team in the Ryder Cup back in 2012 here at Medina. Do you have a problem with that? 312-332-3776. We'll take all your calls when we come back. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. This is the CDGA Golf Show, the segment sponsored by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Talking Phil Mickelson with you here on ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. So much coming out this week about the extent of Phil and the gambling he did on the course. The alleged attempt to bet $400,000 on the U.S. team at the 2012 Ryder Cup at Medina. Good thing he didn't, because, boy, he would have been in for a... I mean, you talk about bad beats. I mean, Scott Van Pelt would have had a field day with that one, especially knowing if Phil had a little bit of a coin down on that. But if you want to join us here, 312-332-3776. Do you have a problem with Phil Mickelson attempting to bet on himself in a sport? And again, the Ryder Cup, more of the team nature, but in an individual sport. 312-332-3776. The segment is sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. You've rubbed elbows with Phil. You've played golf with Phil before.
I have.
You've seen this a little bit firsthand.
I have, and it was interesting. When I was tournament director at the PGA of America, I was stationed at the Wingfoot Golf Club out in Mamaroneck, New York, and I had met some people from Hugo Boss, Hickey Freeman, and Bobby Jones, the apparel companies, when I was up in Rochester for the Ryder Cup. And so I'm down in New York, and Phil came in and did a photo shoot for Hugo Boss in the city. They went to a Mets game, and then the next day they were going to be playing out at Hudson National, which is in Westchester County. And I was asked to join them. They needed an eighth. Mm-hmm. So the deal was Phil was to play nine holes with one group mm-hmm. and nine holes with the other group. And when we got to the tee, they explained what was happening, and Phil became very unhappy quickly. And I was like, I can't believe this guy is not wanting and showing such displeasure in front of the people that are spending a lot of money on him.
And this was in the 90s.
In the 90s. This is 1997, mm-hmm. in the spring of 97. And, you know, at that point, everything starts to get a little awkward. And what Phil then goes on to say is all he wants to do is play 18 holes with the same group so he can gamble. And he's asking anybody, what do you want to play for? And he and all of us are thinking, well, do we say 10 bucks, 20 bucks? He opens it up at 10,000 with us. $10,000. I was starting to look for a way to maybe I got a bad stomach. I think I get sick. I got to go home, you know. And he's adamant about it. He wants to play with the two head guys, and he mentioned one other person, and he says, I just want to have an 18-hole match. That's what I want to do. And they were like, but Phil, you can't. We got to have the group here and a group here. Begrudgingly, he went about it. But he then said to each group, I'll play for whatever amount of money you guys want to play for. And I wasn't sure at the time, is he saying this to impress us or to really make us all uncomfortable, because he's two for two on both, really, in my eyes. And it was just a very interesting and awkward day. And I remember saying to myself at that moment, there's something wrong with him. And I even sort of said to myself, I wonder if he has a gambling addiction. Fast forward to where we are today. Well, what I saw was...
Your intuition was correct.
My intuition was spot on. But yeah, and it was interesting, because I've never been a Phil fan ever since. I respect everything he's ever done on the golf course. I think it's phenomenal. And I think he has certain attributes that are wonderful. But when it gets to this side of him, he's a totally different person. I don't know how to best describe it, but he doesn't operate under the same sort of mental anguish or, you know, thought process that you and I do. It is for certain.
Right. And I mean, you talk about, all right, he opens up the stakes at 10 grand. And yeah, there's something off there at that point.
With people you don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the.
And it's this corporate type outing, too. Like you mentioned, there was Hugo Boss there, all that stuff. Like, there's a lot of things going on. And It's pretty crazy for someone who is sort of tucked away on the LIV tour right now, for Phil Mickelson to be in the news as much as he is. It feels like every month there's something new with Phil that's coming out.
And, you know, that is so true. But I think, you know, as we were talking during break, the definition of addiction is a disease that tells you you don't have a disease. And I think Phil fits that perfectly when it gets to gambling. And, you know, he's able to control it to a point. But I think part of his narcissistic behavior, he loves being in the news like this. He loves making the news. And I think that feeds that ego, and it makes him operate in a way that just, that's Phil. And for us, I think we would be embarrassed. We would be ashamed. But I think Phil looks at it as a badge of courage.
He falls right under the umbrella of no PR is bad PR.
Exactly.
Right? And you look at the way that, I mean, he probably sees this sort of opening, right? Because think about it. His entire life, it's been Tiger Phil, Tiger Phil, Tiger Phil. Well, Tiger's been dormant for the last, what, year almost at this point? Pretty much dating back to last year's British Open. And since then, we have not seen pretty much anything out of Tiger. Aside from, I mean, we talked about it last week, him joining the PGA Tour policy board. But outside of that, we've seen really nothing from Tiger. And Phil almost, I think, sees this as his opening where, all right, I can be in the news now. It can be about me. I can reclaim some of these years because guess what? Quite frankly, we're not going to see much of Tiger for the rest of his life, it seems like, at this point, because of the way that his body has sort of betrayed him and the injuries and the surgeries and all that stuff. He's been out of the news, and quite frankly, Tiger, I think, kind of likes to live a quiet life as well. Phil is the complete opposite. He loves the spotlight being on him, and this might be the opening for him to, who knows, maybe even leapfrog Tiger in the Q rating department.
Well, that's a big, big leap. But I will say, and I do agree with you, I think Phil is looking at this as an opportunity to kind of redeem who he is, redeem and show everybody, look how right I was in terms of what went on with Liv and where we are today. So I think there's a lot of, you know, Phil patting himself on the back. Look what I did. Look what I was able to do. Because as he mentioned in one article, you know, 80% of everything I'm reading was stuff that I brought up before, you know, he made the jump. And then I think his differential between Tiger and himself, aside from the major wins and the amount of tournament wins, but the thing that sort of separates Phil from Tiger, I think, is the gambling. And I think he likes to be that swashbuckler, our modern-day version of what Arnold Palmer was. But Arnold Palmer was a go-for-broke kind of a guy. But Arnold Palmer didn't gamble to this extent by any stretch of the imagination, or at least that we're not aware of. And plus, they didn't have the kind of money back then to do that. So I think Phil is trying to put himself in a category that's all to himself. And it's about, nobody's a bigger gambler than I am. Nobody risks more than I do. And I will, you know, decide to take it over the fattest part of the water with a cut and try to pull off the improbable shot at a time that probably isn't the best thing. And that's what cost him several majors, specifically at Wingfoot, when he dead blocked, you know, a couple of shots dead right, and or for him dead left. And it's cost him events, and it cost him majors. So, you know, again, I go back to, addiction is a disease that tells you you don't have a disease. And it seems that Phil is really got a disease in terms of his gambling, and he admits it. But he says he's had help for it. But again, I don't know how much help you have when you turn around and bet $1 million for nine holes with a fellow LIV player, which, you know, I guess if you just have that kind of money and you're Bryson DeChambeau and Phil Mickelson, I guess, like we said, it's like us playing for $5 or a Coke, you know,
right,
one of those things. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy. Phil's, you know, Phil is in a category all by himself. That I will give him.
All right. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us here talking all things Phil Mickelson, what a week it has been. And I mean, the forgotten element of it all is he could win a big chunk of change this weekend.
Yes, he could.
At the Live Golf Invitational. taking place out of Bedminster right now, because he is four back of the lead. He is tied for second, trailing just Cameron Smith right now, who they each carded four unders yesterday. Phil, though, will need to do five better than Cam Smith today if he wants to take home the trophy there. So 312-332-3776. We will also talk with Sam Bettinardi from Bettinardi Golf coming up at 9 o'clock today. Looking forward to talking with him and all the things that he's doing with his fantastic golf gear business and putters and wedges and all that stuff. So we will talk to Sam coming up in a half hour here. When we come back, though, lots of things going on in the PGA Tour world right now. The St. Jude taking place at the moment. And we will maybe get a little bit of a taste of what's going or who we're going to see coming to Olympia Fields in a couple of days now. So we'll do all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
We've got some drama down in Memphis right now at the St. Jude. We'll get to it in just a second. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, we're with you every single Saturday, usually, during the golf season. We're with you this Sunday, and then in 2 weeks, we'll be with you on Sunday as well, as the Chicago Bears occupy our Saturday here on ESPN 1000, your new home of the Chicago Bears. So the FedEx St. Jude Championship taking place right now down at TPC Southwind in Memphis. And it has led to a lot of drama as we get closer and closer to the FedEx Championship and the BMW Championship coming here to Olympia Fields on Thursday. So they're trimming the field from 70 to 50 heading into the BMW right now. And there's a lot of things to watch right now with one of our favorite golfers on this show, Nick Hardy. He is sitting right now at 50. He has a 6-point edge right now, and Mackenzie Hughes is the name to watch. He just went off. He's even through two right now, but he has been fluctuating in and out of the top 50. But as of right now, if everything were to hold, Nick Hardy would be headed to Olympia Fields next week. He has been right on that cut line. He's pretty much danced with it the entire time, and you know, I mean, you and I were at the media day for the BMWs, and this is something he wants to compete in because this is a home course for him. He can have friends and family out there as well. I mean, this is something that it would be very meaningful for him, but he's got to go out and show it today because right now he was pretty solid through the first two rounds, but he cards a one over yesterday and currently sits 3 under right now in a tie for 42nd. He's going to be able to dictate whether or not he's playing at this point. I don't think Mackenzie Hughes really holds all the cards right now. Nick Hardy holds the cards right now of whether or not he's going to be here next week.
No doubt. And couldn't set it any better. Nick is in control of his own destiny. And like you mentioned, when we were out at Media Day at Olympia Fields about a few weeks ago, they brought in Nick Hardy. And mm-hmm. Nick talked about just
I thought that was bold, by the way.
It really was. I'm thinking.
And the way that the setup and everything to introduce Nick, I mean, it was he's right on that cut line right now. He is projected to be with here if everything holds.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be interesting when he makes it, because I'm hopeful that he is going to, and I have full faith in Nick that he's going to do it. The amount of credentials he talked about needing is going to be absurd because, mm-hmm. well, we're in his hometown, right? So it would be so special to see Nick make it. I mean, as a decorated junior golfer, amateur through the CDGA and all the CDGA events that he played in growing up in his junior and amateur career, it would just be so cool to see him, you know, on the highest stage. And I think it would help a lot of the best juniors in Illinois, you know, really have a hero, really have somebody to look up to and emulate, not only on the course, but off the course. Nick is a first-class individual through and through, and our youth in general could learn a lot from Nick Hardy as just being a person.
And that's the perfect way to put it, because you've got an event here in Chicago. Listen, Chicago's been kind of golf deprived since COVID, yeah. right? In terms of professional events coming to Chicago. I mean, we've had the Live Golf at Rich Harvest Farms, and that's about it, right?
Yeah, I mean,
am I forgetting anything?
Well, we had the BMW, but it was without any spectators.
Right, no spectators. So it's been golf deprived in terms of fan involvement here in the Chicagoland area. Sure, you've had some Corn Ferry events and stuff like that, the NV5 up at the Glen Club a couple weeks ago, but it has been a pretty golf-starved area in a very golf-rich area
well.
And you're going to have one of your own in your backyard. You think that's not going to get the entire town of Northbrook to Olympia Fields because one of their GBN Spartans is going to be there? Like, that is the perfect thing, and it would be so good to have someone like Nick at this event. And listen, he's got the back of Chicago rooting for him right now because it would be great to have him there. And I just saw Mackenzie Hughes just carded a bogey. So that helps out Nick a little bit right there. Not that we're rooting against people.
No.
But we know what helps Nick out.
No, and it does. But it would be so special to have Nick at Olympia Fields, not only just because of where he's come from, but I think to help catapult and kick off golf with spectators. The celebration that's about to occur at Olympia Fields is going to be just stupendous. The way they have that place set up, the bleachering, they have gone above and beyond. Kudos to Vince and the WGA for what they're doing out there. It is going to be special. And
it's going to be different than the previous BMW championships.
No doubt. It's going to be different from a litany of different things. They're going to play the normal routing like the members typically play, which hasn't been the case with the majors there. And to be able to do that, they've got to raise people up in the air so that people can get around down on the ground. And if you go out there, you'll see what I mean when you start seeing 3- and 4-story hospitality venues and bleachers that are raised up at levels I've yet to see, maybe at the British Open, but you're going to get that feel. It's going to be one of these things that I think if you go out as a spectator, you're going to come back talking about it, and you're going to start out by saying, you should have seen what they did. And there's going to be a lot of that going on next week because, again, the last time we had it, it was spectatorless. But this time, it's going to be so many people, and it's just going to be a celebration of golf in Chicago because the biggest stage, the biggest golf market, the biggest players. It's going to be just a sensational week coming up. Can't wait for it.
I know it feels like the mantra of it all is Return of the Roar, right? Because that's what we would have heard when John Rahm sank that 66-footer back in 2020. Like, that's what it would have been. And you've got the CDGA Chicago District Golfer magazine right there, The Roar's Return to Olympia Fields. And that it just kind of, like, yeah, I'm excited for it because it's going to be a fantastic event right now. In terms of other players that you're looking forward to seeing out at Olympia Fields, let's talk about some guys that are more comfortable, guys that we know are going to be there right now. Who's catching your eye? Who are you looking forward to seeing out at Olympia Fields?
Well, you know, like we were talking at break, one of our favorites is Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, that guy is starting to really play some good golf. But, here's a guy, Lucas Glover. Okay, so this guy had to win last week to get in. Looks like he's got a good chance to win again. And, you know, you get the hot putter going, and he made a significant putter change. And so far, it's all thumbs up for him. So he's a major winner. Yeah, 2009, but he is a major winner. Came from a golf program at Clemson University, which is one of the top in the country. So the guy can flat out play. Another guy I really have my eyes on is this Victor Hovland.
Mm-hmm.
Victor is starting to percolate right at the right time. And you know what? I could see Victor going without a major this year, but with a tour championship title.
Wouldn't that
would
be
not
something?
Surprise me in the least. And that will prime him for an amazing 2024. So those are just a few that I have. I mean, yeah, you're always going to have your eyes on a Rory. You're going to have your eyes on a, you know, Scotty. Even though they made a couple of putter changes and it looked like it worked, then it looked like it didn't work. But nonetheless, it'll be interesting to see what they putt with when they get to Olympia Fields.
How about another name for you? Ricky Fowler. And because there's intrigue now with Ricky, yep. right? Like before it was always the flash, the name, all that stuff. But Ricky wasn't playing his best golf.
Nope.
Now he's playing some of his best golf and he's coming to Olympia Fields. And he's got some intrigue now. He's gunning for the Ryder Cup. All that stuff. Like, there's intrigue surrounding Ricky Fowler right now.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, Ricky shot a second round 74, which is very, well, I'll say unlike Ricky lately. Mm-hmm. You know, but he surrounds that with a 70 and a 67. Ricky needs to fire in another 60-something just to sort of get rid of that 74 and at least move up the leaderboard where he belongs. But he's going to be there. And I think Ricky is another one of those players, as the stage gets greater, his ability to come through and perform increases just with all of the fanfare, the pressure, and all of the, you know, that all comes along with it. So I look for Ricky to do some pretty special things today. But Ricky's another guy that he gets it going around Chicago, and Chicago loves orange to begin with because of our Bears. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he puts
University
that,
of Illinois as well.
University of Illinois. I think it would be kind of cool if you had a Nick Hardy, Ricky Fowler. It'd be all kinds of orange and blue in that group for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. 312-332-3776. Who are you most looking forward to seeing at the BMW Championships at Olympia Fields? Maybe you're going. Love to hear from you as well. 312-332-3776. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. We'll take all your calls when we come back here on the CDGA Golf Show.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
It's the CDGA Golf Show here on ESPN 1000, usually on Saturdays. Today we're on Sunday after a Bears win yesterday.
A big Bears
here on ESPN 1000. 312-332-3776, talking BMW Championships with you. Anyone that you're looking forward to seeing out at Olympia Fields this upcoming week, we'd love to hear from you. 312-332-3776. You know where my eye always goes to on the leaderboard and who I'm tracking for this week. It's Victor Hovland. He's been one of my favorites. But Tommy Fleetwood is another guy that we talked about him a little bit earlier, but he's always someone that I've been fond of too over the course of his career. He's never had really the juice to win the big tournament quite yet, but he's one of those guys who he hovers around, and I mean, this week he's been a model of consistency. 66, 66, 66, right?
That's right.
Feels a little devilish there, but he is 12 under right now, and he is currently in sole possession of third at the FedEx St. Jude Championship right now. In terms of other things going on around the PGA, we did have the release of the 2024 PGA Tour schedule, and you know, things are getting weird right now between what's going to happen with the PGA Tour and LIV, because we got this PGA Tour schedule. There's no mention of LIV golf in it, but it's one of those things where, was there anything else that really caught your eye with the release of the PGA Tour schedule?
Well, I would say just that Pebble Beach now is going to become we were referring to it as designated events. We are now going to refer to them in 2024 as signature events.
Feels like a simple PR move there,
yeah,
right? Like designated versus signature.
Yeah, I think when you play for $20 million, it should be a signature event. Yeah. So that, you know, and I mean, I think that's going to be great for Pebble. I mean, not that Pebble needs to, you know, better itself in any way to attract more players, but
for the tour, like for the it tour, should be a signature.
Yeah, it really should, because it's Pebble. I mean, let's face it. The only other one, I think the Canadian Open gets a bit of a date change. Don't know if that's in the best interest of the Canadian Open, but our friends to the north of us, they always look at it as a good thing. So
right.
If they say it's good, then I say it's good.
Yeah, if they're happy, we're
they're happy. Yeah. But aside from that, I think the no mention of LIV is sort of the biggest part of the news. And that goes back to, we still don't really know what's going on just yet. But you know, there are players that are starting to make a little bit of rumbles, like a Tom Hoagie. You know, I saw where he said, you know, the real possibility that this deal does not get finalized because there's so many moving pieces and parts to this thing. So that's the first kind of chink in the armor, at least from the player's perspective. And I don't know if Hoagie's saying that in a way of, haha, if this thing doesn't work, we go our own ways. But one thing that has stood out to me all week is all of the LIV players that are being interviewed and talking about the PGA Tour and what it would take to come back. Nobody wants to come back.
Right.
I haven't
heard.
It
feels long live LIV.
Like, and in fact, they just even said, I mean, they had Brooks on the other day, and even Brooks is saying, you know, when they say, well, what tour do you play? His answer is, I just play in majors. It doesn't matter which tour I play, because he played the Japan Tour, he played the Canadian, the Latin America. He's played like five tours, now including LIV. So he just points to the majors because that's how he feels the media and all of the people who care to measure a player's success of their career is basically done so not on pure wins, but on major wins. So he hasn't said that he wants to come back to the PGA Tour. That's the closest thing I think I would say is anybody even having an inkling about coming back. But at the end of the day, he also mentioned how the LIV schedule is so good for his body. And I guess his knee and his other health issues, he's not disclosing just how bad they really were. And he's mentioning that maybe after his career is over, in a book, in a movie, whatever it may be, he will tell the real story about what went on, because he almost walked away from the game from what he shared this week.
Yeah, I do want to pick your brain on that, too. We'll do that after we talk to Sam Bettinardi. That's coming up at 9 o'clock, so about 5 minutes from now, we will talk to Sam. But I do want to talk about, because we could see this entire deal fall apart, and that was one of the things we always heard, is there's a verbal agreement. Like, there's a deal in place, but the ink wasn't dry yet.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that a little after 9:15 here. By the way, this segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro golf bag. So some of the other names, too. I mean, obviously, you're going to have your major winners out there. You're going to see a couple of first-time major winners out at Olympia Fields. Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman will both be out there. And even though we've kind of seen Wyndham Clark fall off a little bit this week, he's currently in 70th. Out of the 70 golfers right now. He has struggled this week, but it's going to be a fun crop of golfers out there. A name we haven't even gotten to, Max Homa, is going to be out there. I mean, talk about a guy who the public loves, and to see him up close and personal out at Olympia Fields, that's going to be a lot of fun. So there's a lot of big names coming out to the Chicagoland area. Tony Finau is going to be out here, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele. Like, there's going to be a lot of intrigue surrounding it. And in terms of like who the course sets up well for, I mean, we saw Rahm go out and win it a couple years ago, but it wasn't without a little bit of theatrics at the end there. So it really could be a very open tournament and could be something that's very, very intriguing toward, down the final stretch when we hit Sunday.
No doubt. And it's what makes this part of the season without a major, because typically August was PGA Championship month.
Mm-hmm.
By making that move to May, it has cleared the deck for what I think is going to be the coolest August that we have coming, especially as a city that's going to get to host stage two of this three-part process out at Olympia Fields this week. But there are so many games within the game or situations within the overall event to keep your eye on. So I find myself watching golf with a computer and a phone and my screen, so I can be seeing what's going on, where guys are moving, what's happening, both on the points as well as, you know, the event itself. So to your point, I think, you know, this is the week where you start getting somebody on a run that can easily last for a couple of weeks. And, you know, you talk, you know, who knows, a guy like, you know, Justin Rose, he shoots 76. Now, can he get himself in to get here and, you know, play? He shot 61 yesterday. So, you know, a guy like him, a seasoned veteran, he's a major winner. That's the kind of guy who, if he figures this thing out, he has the sustainability to make this thing last. And he could be all of a sudden like, where did he come from? But I still, I'll go back to what I said last week. When Tiger came front and center and decided to be the sixth guy on that policy board, he has taken the world of weight off of Rory's shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I look for this guy to, if he can figure this putter out and figure out which one he wants to go with, the one that he got out of the garage or the one that he's always been using and go back to it, the guy is hitting shots. And what was interesting is how many putts he missed on the front nine the other day, but they were all within 15 feet. He's too good to keep him from not making putts for days on end. And it could, as quickly as today, turn around and you could see Rory shoot a super low number before arriving to the BMW. But Rory is a guy that I think has had the biggest benefit of Tiger coming to the table. And it'll be interesting to see what happens today, let alone the next 2 weeks.
All right. When we come back, we will talk to Sam Bettinardi from Bettinardi. Looking forward to that conversation. They've got some awesome gear and
unbelievable
putters stuff. And wedges. It's very creative stuff. We'll talk to Sam when we come back. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.